Recording in progress.
Well, it's wonderful to see you folks this evening. I'm glad you could be here. And looks like there's a few other folks zooming in. But just in the meantime, make yourself comfortable. And we'll get started in just a few minutes. I trust that the sound is working. Is that coming through? Wonderful. Great. We're getting settled as our community is forming here this evening. It's the 1st of February, and this is Heart of Freedom. My name is Doug Pullen, and it's great to be here with you folks this evening. It's wonderful to see you. And like to just invite us to reflect on the conditions that make it possible for us to join each other in practice this evening, not to be taken for granted. So we have access to the technology to do this, and the motivation, we're living in a place or in, under the conditions where there's relative safety and ability to focus inward, not to be taken for granted in this world. So lots of places where people can't do this evening. So just an invitation to reflect on the conditions that make this possible. And for us to get settled, maybe checking in with the body, with this experience of sitting, attending, maybe, letting the focus shift more inward, letting go of preoccupations, cares, concerns for the world, those tendencies to be kind of caught up in concerns about the past and the future, and just let the mind and body actually arrive here at the same place at the same time. And the body's always here in the present moment, but the mind can often be off someplace else. So it's more practice of bringing the mind to the body and to connect with what's actually happening. Sometimes it's helpful to do a little body sweep in the beginning, just to check in and see if there's any places that could use a little mindfulness and kindness. Checking in with feet, toes, hands and fingers, maybe neck and shoulders. Noticing there any places where we could let things soften. Maybe letting the breath deepen a few times, just allowing the breath to invite that softening and relaxation. And just noticing if there's any way that you might sit, your posture might be adjusted to really help you in being more alert and comfortable and present. If we're slouching or scrunched or in some way sitting in a way that is kind of tense, that's going to affect the meditation. So, just noticing. So there's this kind of uprightness and alertness of posture. And then there's an invitation to let the body relax on that upright, alert, kind of skeletal structure that's here. And then just an invitation to reflect on where we might find refuge. What supports this practice of peace and love, compassion, presence. The ancient tradition suggests looking for refuge in our Buddha nature, taking refuge in the Buddha. What is that? Those qualities of heart and mind that are loving and kind, awake, present. And taking refuge in the Dharma, in the truth that we can discover here in the present moment. And then taking refuge in Sangha. What is that? What is taking refuge in Sangha? Well, here's an invitation to discover for yourself what it might be. To consider our interbeing, our interrelatedness, our interconnectedness, that we belong to each other, that we all belong here, that we're all welcome here, Yeah. And that we support each other in our presence here with our welcoming. Yeah. So let that be just an invitation. And to welcome all aspects of this mind and this body into presence, into this kind presence that allows things to be just as they are, with the breath at the center. And now just letting the breath breathe itself. The breath is the friend of a lifetime, really. It knows how to sustain us. And so just letting the breath be our central focus, if that's helpful. And the sensations of in-breathing and out-breathing, where we discover them. And so it's relinquishing the identification or preoccupation with thinking. And not trying to stop thoughts, but more just letting thoughts become just one of the sense doors that we bring mindfulness to, rather than the thing that we identify with and get lost in. And the breath really is incredibly helpful, helping us stay in this present moment relationship with everything that arises in consciousness. you're working with staying with the breath, if that's your primary object, you can notice how unique each breath is. No two breaths are exactly the same. It might be possible to notice the texture, the quality, and maybe even the duration of each breath, this breath. You can notice where in the body the sensations of breath are most predominant or most prominent. And if there's any kind of challenge, the breath might be experienced as really subtle or elusive, feel free to give yourself a little assistance by putting a hand on the chest or the belly. See if that's helpful. Yeah, not trying to force anything, more just an invitation to bring some ease into the noticing. If we're tensing up, we're trying too hard. So, yeah, just that balance between effort that brings awareness without tensing up. Our focus this evening is working in an embodied way with mindfulness of feeling. And so just a gentle invitation to notice the feeling tone. And if that isn't really apparent, where it seems like, it's a little too much, all I can do right now is just barely notice the breath, then no shoulds, have tos, ought tos. This is just an invitation to be curious about, is there a feeling tone? which is really very simple. It's, is this more a pleasant experience of body sensation associated with breathing? Is this more kind of on the unpleasant end? Or is it more just neutral? Not yet determined, as my teacher Ruth Dennison would say. So just noticing, not trying to figure it out analytically or go off on tangents about trying to figure it out. It's more direct, experiential, visceral. Oh, it's like this. And as we notice the feeling tone in body sensations, see if it's possible to not grasp at the pleasant, resist the unpleasant, and become bored and ignore the neutral. The grasping, resistance, or boredom can manifest as thinking related to the sense experience, or some images that come up in the mind. So the idea is to stay connected with the body, with the sensation of breathing, to come back. Yeah. And just allow it to be just as it is. And sometimes I find it helpful if the feeling intensity is strong and it's challenging to not get pulled into resisting or clinging, to even make a silent mental note, pleasant, 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 or unpleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, as I stay with the sensation. That kind of amplifies that quality of mindfulness that wants to stay present with this domain. Not trying to change anything. We're just trying to observe how it changes by itself. We stay in present moment relationship with this moment, this sensation, this breath. if you find that you're sitting with pain this evening, it could be physical pain or emotional or psychological pain, to try to trace where it shows up in the body, to use that as an access route for mindful presence. And maybe to try using the breath, letting the breath just naturally help soften any hard edges around the pain. And just see if it's possible really to allow a tender, gentle awareness to permeate with the in and out breaths. So we are invited to use the breath to soften resistance to the pain or discomfort. And this is can be done experimentally, not trying to force anything at all. It's really very gentle. If you aren't experiencing pain, then it's helpful just to notice, oh, this experience of this moment is relatively pain-free. There's just these sensations, maybe it's more neutral. If there is any pain, as you use the breath to soften the resistance or discomfort, see if you notice how the experience of change, the experience of pain changes. It's a constantly changing mass of different sensations. It comes into and out of being moment by moment. And the invitation to let your experience include pleasurable dimensions in the field of awareness. This may already be apparent to you, but just in case it isn't, because it might be very subtle, such as the tingling in the fingers, or some kind of pleasure around the breath, or some other body sensation where there's a pleasant tingling. So in your own way, just staying open to your whole experience and noticing if they're intermixed with pain or neutral, there might be some pleasure without clinging to the pleasure. Noticing how fleeting it is. And as always, there's this breath to come back to if you find yourself kind of getting spun out or kind of confused about what to do. There's this breath, this experience of rising and falling, the chest expanding and contracting. If there's any commentary or judgment or trying to figure things out intellectually, just noticing that and just letting that go, or just letting that be, coming back to the embodied experience in this moment. And an invitation to notice that each moment of life contains elements that are painful and elements that are pleasurable and neutral. And this is the way things are in the world for everyone. And we can notice the tendency to harden against the pain and to grasp after the pleasure. And in the noticing, just relax back in to the broad field of awareness. This breath. as our meditation comes to a close here in the next few minutes, if you feel like you're in a position to let your awareness broaden, we can include awareness of other beings. Just becoming aware that all humanity, all beings, experience a mixture of pain and pleasure, moment by moment, in much the same way that we do. And of course, the stories of people's lives are unique. There's individual differences, but the range of basic human experience on this level is we all experience pain, we all experience pleasure, we all have hopes and dreams and fears and regrets, no matter where we live, our age, our color, our race, sexual orientation, identity, ability. And in this way, we can allow our experience of pain and pleasure to become a moment of connection, of empathy for other beings, rather than a sense of isolation, rather than a sense of what's wrong with me, or I'm different. And there's a way in which all life experiences these things. Yeah, and as we close this meditation, just to hold kindly awareness towards our own experience and this shared human experience, and just notice the breath, the whole world of breathing, allow the experience of all life breathing like waves on the ocean, rising and falling, and just allowing a sense of the hard edges of separation to soften, letting go into a sense of all that we share and a feeling of connection through the universal experience of feeling. So it's an invitation to continue to practice in some way. Perhaps it won't be quite as focused or concentrated, but we can use the rest of the evening here as an opportunity to expand the field of our loving presence, our mindful presence. And that includes, staying connected to the body. And after sitting for 35 minutes or so, maybe there's some tension or aches or pains or stiffness. So just taking a minute, maybe checking in, seeing if maybe it would be helpful to let things stretch, move, shift. And you, so staying here in the present moment with our experience. I'm going to share a few things here, so feel free to take listening as a mindfulness invitation, and I just posted in the chat a reminder about the practice of Dana, practice of generosity and the joy of giving. And thanks, Jamie, for the noticing that it's the first day of Black History Month.
Doug, we can't hear you.
Oh, oops. Thanks. Microphone turned off there. I bumped it, so sorry about that. Okay, thanks. Well, I just posted in the chat. There was an invitation to just do some mindful movement and stretching. So there's that. I was just mentioning or amplifying Jamie's mentioning of it being Black History Month starting today. And I've got a poem that I'd like to share. I'm just looking for it. From Maya Angelou. There's also, here it is. It's called Love's Exquisite Freedom. We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train comes ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave. And suddenly we see that love costs all we are and all will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free. Maya Angelou. Just a reminder that there's other events coming up at PIMC, and so I just want to mention those briefly and invite you to go to our PIMC website for more details, and there's registration. So coming up this weekend, I'm offering a retreat on Saturday deepening the compassionate response from 10 to 4. There's still a space there for that. That'll be online and in person. And then Trina Zhuang is offering next Friday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. Being Love, a workshop on how we can love and understand love. Robert Beatty is offering a retreat coming up on February 23rd to the 29th, Mindfulness with Love and Compassion. It's at Manuka. And then there's the DEI movie night at PIMC on the Saturday. Wandering but not lost. And so that's there in person at PIMC. And then coming up on starting next Tuesday, the DEI discussion group, The Will to Change, starting 7:30. That's Tuesday. And that's held online via Zoom. That'll be going for the first and third Tuesdays in February and March. And then the BIPOC Mindfulness Group in person is happening February 23rd from 3 to 5. That's in person at PIMC. So lots of wonderful things happening. Go to the website for more information. Yeah. So, like to give us a chance to check in for just a few minutes here. And this is totally optional. Don't have to say a word if you don't want to. But if you'd like to share what's most alive for you, what's on your heart, anything that's bubbling up. And then when you've shared, then to start with, maybe to say your name, if you'd like, and then when you're finished, just say I've spoken. So then the next person knows that they can take a turn, and to really keep a kind of space of safety and kind of clarity. It's wonderful not to get into crosstalk, so we really give people a clear space to share. So there's that. Any sharing that would like to happen.
My name is Michelle, and lately I've just been feeling like I've been in between two different kinds of worlds. I can't really explain it other than, there's, like, the world of consumption and keeping up with everything and being rich and just being very busy and then having a trip or something to make it all better. And then the world of kind of around with me with the my neighbors and my friends and the people I end up walking with, and that's just a very different perspective. It can be kind of disconcerting sometimes to have that feeling.
Thanks, Michelle.
Hi, it's Claire, and I just wanted to share that it's taken me all day to settle, and so this is a very nice cap to the end of the day that's, I couldn't quite find my footing, which happens. I didn't go one way or the other with it, but I just noticed how much I was looking forward to this hour and a half. And hoping it'll it already has had the much needed impact of relaxation, connecting with community, and getting my kind of the word that came to me, my cells, my cellular organization a little bit settled is probably the word. So thank you. I'm finished.
Thanks.
I'm Laura, and I'm pretty glad to be here. It's actually been a rough couple of weeks, and when for some reason my feet were just kind of out from under me, and I felt like I was kind of flailing and not getting anywhere for a while. And the last couple of days, I've been able to take more time meditate, and I'm really glad that all of you are here tonight. You asked when we're meditating to think about whether it was pleasant or neutral or painful, or and it was, I just had a rush of such a pleasant feeling. I don't necessarily pay attention to that. I think of it as being neutral, I think, a lot of the time, but it is such a refuge. I guess that's been said, but it's such a refuge to come from being incredibly flailing around or even incredibly focused and busy, and just to let go and kind of reconnect with me. And yeah. Anyway, I'm really glad to be here. Really looking forward to the sit on Saturday and the retreat on Saturday. And I think that's it. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Karen. I really helped me to understand a few things tonight, because I was, when I feel like other people's problems are my own, or that I'm responsible for their health, it gets me right in the stomach. And when we were talking earlier, Doug, about karma, and with the saying of, you know, their karma is their karma, and I have no responsibility there. I don't know, I'm paraphrasing it incorrectly, I'm sure, but something like that. Anyway, and then we were sitting with the noticing that the embodiment of those feelings in me, and just kind of touching the breath and trying to penetrate that a little bit. It was very helpful. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks. And is it okay, Karen, if I provide a little context for folks who weren't in the earlier class?
Sure.
Yeah. Just to say that there was a intro to heart cultivation class prior to Heart of Freedom. And this evening we were focused on equanimity. And so we've been working with the four Brahmaviharas, loving kindness, compassion, altruistic joy, and this evening was equanimity. And so that's what Karen's referring to there. So.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, Masmé. I had a difficult conversation with my daughter who's away at college last night about her plans for next year, and came pretty close to having an insomnia night and was there in bed and was like, oh, well, I should just go sit. So I sat from like 12:30 to 1 in the morning last night and then got down. And then later on, I realized, oh, I hadn't taken my usual evening meds, and that's part of why the insomnia happened. But I was that scattered, I didn't remember the meds, you know. But that residual energy of, like, it's like threading a needle for my family to make it through these times. Like, I've been carrying that with me today. And so the invitation to be with the pain, but also to ask what else is going on that might be pleasurable, just pleasure in the fact of the body living, was really welcome and lovely. So thank you for that, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thanks. Thanks for sharing. So just checking, anybody just on the verge of jumping in? Okay, well, I'll share a little Dharma talk that connects up with embodied feeling, or the Pali word is Vedana for this quality of feeling. First, I'd like to share another poem. This is one I've shared relatively recently, but it really resonates with me. So, yeah, please bear with me if it sounds familiar. Hopefully it's helpful. It's by Jennifer Wellwood. It's called Unconditional. Willing to experience aloneness, I discover connection everywhere. Turning to face my fear, I feel the warrior who lives within. Opening to loss, I gain the embrace of the universe. Surrendering into emptiness, I find fullness without end. Each condition I flee from pursues me. Each condition I welcome transforms me and becomes itself transformed into its radiant, jewel-like essence. This practice of working with feeling tone, seems to me to really be kind of what potentiates what Jennifer's talking about. So, to have the freedom to choose, to really be here. For folks who weren't here last week, I've been starting to focus on the four satipatthanas, or the four domains of mindfulness practice. So we started with the body last week. This week I'm covering or focusing on feelings with a little tilt towards the body, because I think that's helpful. Here's a quote from Tara Brach. She said, "Compassion arises when we experience suffering, and to experience suffering directly, we need to be in touch with our vulnerability in our body, where the suffering registers. Then the natural response is tenderness. Self-compassion then allows us to feel compassionate towards others. If we haven't been with our own vulnerability, we cannot really resonate with another person's vulnerability. So there's that. So this evening, just an invitation to continue to deepen in loving presence as you hear these words, as you hear the words of our community, as you hear these words that I'm sharing. In this practice, we're not trying to fix anything. Because the understanding is at the deepest level, there isn't anything broken here. There's no brokenness. We're actually trying to recover our true nature, which is unbroken, which is whole and complete. And that's true for every single person. We're just trying to welcome ourselves back into this realization that we're inherently whole just as we are. We don't need to be fixed by meditation. So what we're really doing is deepening into a practice of welcoming ourselves, welcoming each other, feeling and our conditioned reactivity to it is one of the primary things that gets in the way of this welcoming. The conditioning that goes kind of generically, I need to get rid of the unpleasant. I need to cling to the pleasant and ignore the neutral. That's what it comes down to. Here's a quote from Jack Kornfield. He said, "Feelings are what connect us to life and to one another. To be able to feel is one of the extraordinary gifts of humanity. To neither suppress our feelings nor be caught by them, but to understand them. That's the art." Here's the invitation then, that might be a takeaway, or more likely a reminder. When we use the word feeling in the context of the Dharma, in meditation, the word feeling, to label our feeling tone in meditation, feeling can be a synonym for welcoming. Welcoming and letting go or letting be into the feeling. Understanding that's constantly changing, the stream of feeling. And if you've been meditating for a while, which I know is true for a lot of us here this evening, we know that the guests that come in the form of feeling, they just keep coming. Constantly a stream. Earlier this evening, as Karen was mentioning, I was teaching about equanimity, and in a sense, the whole evening, including this teaching, is really about equanimity. It's about the state of this quality of heart that's a non-reactive space of love, where there's room for everything. Nothing is excluded. I refer to that as wholeness of heart. And in this context, heart is the spiritual heart is defined as that part of us as human beings that's most tender and open to the world. That's in Mahayana Buddhism sometimes referred to as bodhicitta. Is that quality, that essential quality, that's connected, that's responsive, that's open, that is undefended. And so the first step towards spiritual growth and and positive change is awareness. And the second step is love. Or maybe it's the reverse, I'm not sure. But they're two and essential. And the experience is, the actual experience is, this moment is like this. This feeling is like this. And to the degree that there's conditioning that's other than that, for example, if the experience in the mind and body is resistance, then there tends to be persistence. What we resist tends to persist. I was talking earlier this evening in the earlier class about Bhante Gujaratana, who is, I think he's like 96. He's originally from Sri Lanka. Wonderful teacher, is very prolific, written a lot of wonderful books. And I had a chance to sit with him a few years ago. And he said, we can say that the entire teaching of the Buddha is based on feelings, working with feelings. What did he mean? Well, the first noble truth is that there is dukkha. There is anguish, unsatisfactoriness, suffering. The second noble truth is that the cause is clinging and resisting. The things that can't be resisted and clinging to the things that can't be clung to. What causes resistance and clinging? It's how we hold, or lack of awareness of how we hold, feeling. So the core of the Buddhist teaching is really an invitation to be in relationship to this quality of feeling tone. How we work with that. We can see that running through just like in relationship to the four divine abodes. Compassion is the enlightened emotional experience for meeting pain and suffering in the world. Sympathetic joy or altruistic joy is about being here with pleasantness. Equanimity is the space for the whole thing, non-identification, non-clinging, and not ignoring the neutral. Loving kindness is kind of the general, there's room for everything. That's Ajahn Sumedho. That was his definition of metta. There's room for everything. Feeling tone, this quality of feeling, was so important in the Buddhist teaching that it's one of the four satipatthanas, one of the four foundations or domains of practice. So what are those? The body, feeling, mental states, and mind objects. I'm going to go into the other two later on this month, so I won't spend any time with that this evening. I find it helpful to remember when there's strong feeling tone, oh, this is a domain of practice. This was actually so important that the Buddha said, this can be a primary focus for your practice, just to notice the changing feeling tones. And the four Satipatthanas lead to liberation, lead to freedom. So it's I find that helpful. There's a tendency to think of it on an intellectual level as so simple and rudimentary as to be like kind of the kindergarten practice. But I can assure you it's anything but that in terms of the depth of practice that it leads to. It's, my experience is that it's transformative because a lot of the hindrances or obstacles to meditation come in the form of feelings that we react to that keep us from going deeper. So if we can notice the feeling tone as a mindfulness object, it transforms our practice. Instead of holding on to the idea, maybe it's not even a conscious idea, that meditation is supposed to be all about peace and pleasantness and bliss all the time. Well, that does come. Rapture, bliss, peace comes, but it doesn't come from trying to get rid of anything, trying to resist anything. It comes through the recognition of this moment is like this. And we're swinging against the grain of our culture in this practice in so many different ways. And the grain or kind of flow of our mainstream culture is if it's unpleasant, take this, distract yourself, do that, avoid it, shut it down, get rid of it. Get more stuff. And then to become kind of addicted to those states of distraction. It's so important to have community, Sangha, that welcomes us and supports us in a kind of swimming against the stream. So I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude in this moment for your presence here with me this evening and just what Sangha and spiritual friends really have done and made possible for me in this practice in this way. So working with it, I think I'll stop here for a moment and just circle back, see if there's anything that's coming up for you as a question or sharing, anything that's percolating up, bubbling up to the surface.
Yes, I have a thought I'd like to explore a little bit, and Doug, please correct me, but I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I took a class, and you were leading it, and it was about compassion, and I don't know if self-esteem was quite the right word, but in that direction, and that I remember as few other classes that it came and impacted me. So when I saw you were going to do it again tomorrow, that I remembered it from that long time ago, which is not so common for me. And I think the longer that I am meditating, the more there's a part of me that's focusing on the Maya Angelou poem, beautiful poem you read, that in some way love is at center, whether it's love meeting suffering and calling it compassion, or or loving kindness or whatever. And I just felt that this workshop you offered was one of the most cogent and comforting classes about that type of thing, which is so central to where we are right now. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. I'm glad it was helpful. Yeah.
Yes.
So, anything else in the moment for anybody?
Okay. One little addendum.
Sure, yeah.
Yesterday, I did not expect to be here tonight. Oh. Yesterday, I was supposed to have my hip replacement of the right hip.
Oh, wow.
And at the last minute, they canceled it. And I went through a kind of a primitive feeling toned reaction, which was, no, you can't tell me at the last minute something so important. There's 1,000 details that need to be attended to. My daughter's fixing her house to welcome me for a week, and so on and so on and so on. Uh-huh. And they said, and I was upset.
Yeah.
And they said, well, the reason is there are two places we have. You were set up to be in the building, and it would probably be okay. But the other place is the hospital, and since you have certain things like AFib going on in the heart, do you know what? If you go in the building as we had planned, there's no plan B if something happens. If you wait a while and go to the hospital, very skillful people and opportunities will be there in case they are needed. But that feeling tone was interesting.
And an opportunity, this is kind of implicit in what you're sharing. I'm putting a couple of things together that you didn't actually say, but what I'm hearing is then you can hold your experience with self-compassion.
Yes.
This is really difficult.
Yes.
And disappointing.
Yes.
And this is what that feels like. And
in some things in our life, to everybody that I ever have known, some things are really significant. They're not tiny little everyday things, but you know, when you go under a knife and have your hip replaced, or you've had cancer, or you've had the death of somebody you dearly love.
Yes.
Those things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's big stuff. Yeah. Well, I hope that you're able to, you know, get back in soon and get that done.
Yeah, April 8th.
Oh, good. Okay.
Couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing, Larry. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Mm. So, being aware of feeling is one way it translates for me is that it's a it's like a cue, if there's a feeling tone, for mindful curiosity. That might be an alternative to habitual conditioned reactivity. So if I can, notice it, my practice includes that and welcomes that, then when the going gets rougher or things are more challenging, maybe it's possible to not get wrapped around the wheel of my fear or anger, wrapped around the axle of anger, so I can notice that feeling quality. And not that it makes those feelings of fear or anger go away, but it provides a place to observe, to notice it, to not identify with it. To notice the state of mind, the reactions of the mind. So just being aware of the bare feeling in this simply registers the impact of the incoming stimuli, whatever it might be, that arises in consciousness, that has a feeling tone to it. Conditioned responses to feelings then lead to emotions. So there's the basic, like really simple, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then from there we get emotions like desire, love, aversion, hate, anxiety, fear, as well as distorted views, distorted perceptions, based on that conditioning that gets stirred up by the feeling tone. And emotions aren't really a separate, inseparable part of feeling. They're kind of, the feeling is maybe a basic part, like unpleasant feeling can have its expression in anger or fear or sadness, depending on the conditioning, the context that we find ourselves in. So applications for this, to be able to notice it with observing, there can be a moment of a pause and even some self-restraint to maybe avoid doing something that's harmful or saying something that's harmful to someone else or myself. That internal negative dialogue, self-judgment, is harmful. And also speaking things that are harmful. If I notice the feeling tone, then maybe I don't get caught up in the and identified with the reaction. It's very helpful in freeing us from all kinds of negative conditioning to observe what our biases are, our conditioning, the conditioning that comes from where we stand on the continuum of being privileged, for example. Pausing and reflecting and observing. So with the practice of mindfulness of feelings, self-restraint and then self-investigation or investigation is possible. If we can observe feeling at its source with the sense contact that happens, then it doesn't have to become, go into craving and becoming. So this ties back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago about working with difficult emotional states. Really, it's very helpful. And to observe feeling arises and passes away, that it's impermanent, that it actually is non-self. When we identify with feeling, we create selfing stories around it that reify a sense of self. So it really is helpful in the direct insight into the impermanent nature of things, the non-solidity of the self, and to see the unsatisfactoriness that arises when we cling and resist. So those three characteristics of existence that the Buddha talked about, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and self as process, no solid self, feeling tone, mindfulness of feeling is really helpful in seeing me into that. Another way of saying it is when bare attention is directed towards the arising and vanishing of feelings, much of the dukkha that we experience in the world can be reduced and or avoided. So just to sum it up, and then I'd like to do a closing. Our practice is to give attention to the pleasant feelings without desperately trying to make them last when they go away. To give attention to unpleasant feelings without struggling to get rid of them when they come. And to learn to give attention to neutral feelings without being identified with boredom and restlessness. And finally, to notice how feeling tone affects and is influenced by the experience of our environment, our cultural conditioning, our physical sensations, thoughts, and moods. There's that. I mean, we can do a whole deep dive into this, but that's the gist of it. If you're looking to go more into the Four Foundations, I suggest Joseph Campbell's book, Mindfulness, A Practical Guide to Insight. It's a great book. It's a transcription of talks he gave over quite a few years on the Satipatthana Sutta. So let's let me check in. Anything else here, folks, you want to share before we close, do our closing? Yes, Ari, please.
Thank you for your words. I am just noting something of a conflict in myself between the messaging of accepting everything and then a lot of mental exercises in a way to let go of various mental patterns of resistance and reactivity. And I want to note that for me, at least, some days are filled with resistance and reactivity. Like many of us, my childhood was one of habitual resistance and reactivity surrounding me. And so part of my path of compassion is to accept all of that. I struggle sometimes with Buddhist teachings that seem to message very strongly to get away from what is conditioned. I think it takes a lot of time. Thank you, I've spoken.
Thanks, yeah, it's so true, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Well, anything, any other sharing? Yeah, well, let's do a closing. And invitation to hold an intention of, kindness and acceptance, and be letting the eyes close and just coming back in to check in and see, is there anything here that's asking for some kind attention or acceptance? Yeah. And or a willingness just to allow it to be just as it is. And there might be some words or a phrase, a metta phrase, some words of kindness that we'd like to cultivate our hearts with. Yeah, so just noticing what would be helpful for you. Examples might be, I'm learning to accept myself just as I am. accepts anger or sadness or allow feelings to be felt. Or, yeah, wherever it is, whatever seems helpful. Yeah, may I be peaceful. Yeah, and as we do this cultivation, just letting these intentions and words radiate throughout our being, there may be a real opening and receptivity, a warmth. There might not be. Maybe in this moment it's more kind of holding the intention, even while there may not necessarily be any, a warmth or a feeling that's happening. That's okay. It's really, these practices are about cultivation of intention in the heart and mind. And yeah, just seeing what happens. There's no forcing anything. And yeah, planting the seeds and then recognizing our shared humanity in this, whatever we might be struggling with or working with in our own hearts and minds. It's part of the shared human experience. In some way, we aren't alone. And recognizing and perhaps being able to share our wishes of well-being for others, maybe starting with our community gathered here this evening. Yeah, just wishing, may you be able to hold whatever feeling is arising with love and compassion and understanding, or whatever wish you'd like to share with the group, having a sense of our interconnectedness. Yeah, and then letting our wishes move out around our circle, our virtual circle, and then into the world. Yeah. Beings who are known to us, holding them, imagining them here with our loving intentions, connecting with them, and extending it out to beings who are less well known to us and beings who are unknown, with a connection to our shared humanity, to extend it out to beings, human, animal, beings of all kinds, beings who are being born, beings who are dying, beings who are thriving, beings who are sick, beings who are struggling, all beings everywhere. May all beings be touched and held and free from all forms of suffering and abide in well-being. Yeah, notice how it feels. And then if you'd like to, you're welcome to join me as we close with the chant, may all beings be happy. And you're welcome to unmute. And so we'll chant that three times and then sadhu three times. May the blessings of your practice go with you. May you take whatever is good and may it continue to grow and benefit you. Anything that's not helpful, just let it go, so you only take the good things. And I hope to see you again here next week, and maybe some of you on Saturday. I'll look forward to a chance to practice with you. So be safe and well, and yeah, take good care.
Thanks,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.